Really believing that whatever your need in your life is, I was reminded this week that, you know, that we can trust and believe that no matter who walks through the door, whether this is your first time at Compass or you're a regular here, no matter what you bring in to say, okay, God, if you are God, do something, there is nothing that we have in our lives that's too big for our God, that He is bigger than any circumstance. And that's not to belittle anything that anyone is going through in this room. But what I want to say this morning is that our God is able, that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could expect or imagine in our circumstances. And even in our church's short life, we've already seen, but by the grace of God, some fantastic things happen. Now, I believe that God calls us to do what we can do. God has given us skills, talents, abilities. He's given us a brain. We should use it. He's given us common sense that we should use. We've got to do what we can do. We can't just sit back and just go, well, God, you just do it, or you get me that job, and God, you give me that promotion, but we don't get off our butt and actually do something. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we have a responsibility that God has given us, that whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all our might. And this week, there are people that have been praying hard for this morning. There's been people that have been praying for you that don't even know you, but they're praying for you. And together this morning, we're going to believe that as we have the opportunity to pray and seek God and just ask for Him to move in our circumstance and situation, that He's going to do it. Is anyone with me?
Yeah.
All right, we want some of that because I need some of that in my life. But, you know, just while I'm talking about just prayer, I thank you for the people that did pray and fast throughout the week and emails and SMSs of encouragement and stuff. Just really appreciate that because I know it makes a difference. And if you're not aware, we have a prayer meeting on Friday mornings at the office from 9:30 to 10:30. I know that time doesn't suit everybody, but if it happens that you have that time free on a Friday, you're most welcome to come and join us and to pray. But today we're looking at this whole area of why not in the area of the supernatural. That this year will be for our church, which means the church is you, the people, for you, for us together corporately, that this would be a why not year in the area of the supernatural. Because the Bible says that, you know, our relationship with God is a spiritual thing. That we are created physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual beings. And when one of those areas is not cared for, we're not going to function and operate to the best and to the maximum of our ability. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so this morning, we're talking about this spiritual area of our lives that is so crucial and important. And God says that He reveals Himself to mankind, whether it's through His creation or through circumstance, that you have come here today because maybe somebody invited you, or that you happen to stumble across the website, or there was some random strange reason why you're here today, but that's not by accident. You need to understand that. You're not here by accident today. That God has purposed and ordained that you would collide and bump with somebody, that maybe you kind of like talked about this God stuff, and that you would be here today. There's a very good reason. I'm excited for you for being here today. You've come on a good Sunday. Not that every other Sunday is not a good Sunday at Compass, but you've come on a good Sunday. But, you know, this area of supernatural is it's a fascinating thing. I mean, help me out here. Like, think of a TV show or a movie. Just help me out. Throw some out there to me. Jaws. Supernatural. Okay. Supernatural, the movie, yeah, and show. Sorry? Easy Rider. Can't say I've seen it, but X-Files, Matrix, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's real, isn't it? Twilight, all those sort of, things, and Medium is a series. Green Mile, yeah. Cinderella. The Wiggles are a supernatural phenomena. We've got to be proud as Australians, don't we, that they are our number one export to the world when it comes to media and that sort of stuff. When I go and speak in the States, it's the first thing. I just want to apologise this morning. I want to apologise for the Wiggles and all the parents in the room know my pain is toot, toot, chugga, chugga, big red car. That's all I just have playing through their mind. I'm sorry we did that to you, but I'm sorry. But, you know, this whole area of the supernatural, I believe, will do one of two things in our lives. Because I believe, basically, there is good and there is evil. And so what I'm saying is there is a loving, caring God in whom there is no wrong, and he's perfect in every way, shape, and form. He's pure love, joy, peace. There is no evil within him, and yet the contrast to that, the complete opposite, is evil. It's the devil and his kingdom of darkness that is just pure evil and wants nothing but to kill, steal, and destroy from your life, from your family, from your business, whatever you're involved in, not just a little bit. He wants to see you decimated and as far removed from that side of the spectrum as possible. And so I believe the supernatural will serve two functions. Number one, it will either draw you closer to God or it will lead you further away from God. And when I say that, it will either lead you to the way to God, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a bold claim. But the supernatural will either lead us to Jesus who can connect us and through what he did on the cross engage and connect us with God, or the supernatural in subtle small ways will lead us further away from Jesus Christ being the truth. In a postmodern world, we don't like absolutes. We don't like to think that there is only one way, that there is only one God that is all omnipotent, all powerful, ever present. We don't like to think of that, but yet I'm here to say that's what the Bible has to say. So don't shoot the messenger, take it up with God if you don't like what I'm saying. But the thing is that's what I believe the supernatural will do. And it's so popular, I believe, and will always be popular because there is that spiritual void in our lives that we try to fill with so many different things. And people seek out truth. They seek out answers through seances and Tao and palm readings and various mediums and things like that. You take a look in the local paper and there is just like, you know, almost a whole page dedicated to, you know, psychics and the various likes. And again, in essence, as I said, the supernatural will lead us to Jesus Christ or direct us or lead us further away from Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. In John 4:24, it says that God is spirit. And the Bible itself, which we base our faith on, is claimed to be and considered to be a supernatural book. That the words in this book are not just ink on paper, but they're actually alive. The words on these pages are living and they're active and they have the power, the authority, the ability to transform our lives from the inside out as we change the way we think, to change our worldview, which will change the way we speak and act and will determine the lifestyle in which we live. Does that make sense? So this book, not just from a psychology 101 point of view, does it make sense, but there is something spiritual when you read its words and you put its principles into practice. So this book itself reveals so much to us about a spiritual God, a God that we can't see. We can't see God, but we can see the effects of God, if you get my drift. And the Bible is a story of God revealing himself, a God who is spirit, but who desperately wants to engage with you. He so desperately wants to connect with each and every one of us, and he will do that in a variety of ways that makes it so that it's undoubtable in our minds that he is real, that he loves us, that he cares for us, and he's proven and he's shown that time and time again. And we see it right from the very beginning. If you've got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Make it easier for you to start this morning, just right at the very beginning. It's not one of those difficult books to find. Just read this. The first verse in the Bible says this, first couple of verses. In the beginning, everybody say, in the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning, God. Everybody say, God. So in the beginning, God. So the Bible says that God was before the beginning of time. He was, is, and always will be. He goes beyond the natural realms that we know, the dimensions that we know, and he exists outside of all of that. He's in it, but he exists outside of it. So he is eternal. Have you ever tried to think about forever? It hurts my head. What's forever going to be like? Wow, that kind of hurts my brain, strained brain, all that. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, listen to this. Now, the earth was formless, empty, dark. It was void. Anyone ever felt like that? That's kind of like just how you felt that your life was. It's empty, it's dark, it's void, it's lacking meaning, it's lacking purpose. And what does it say? Well, that's the way the earth was. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So right from the very beginning, we see that God is beyond time, but he's also there and he's hovering. His Spirit, he's hovering over this darkness, this void, this nothingness that had no shape or form. And he started to create. That's one of the things I love about our God. No matter where you feel or find yourself in life, whether you've been a Christian for a while and you find yourself in darkness, or whether you are somebody that's seeking out God, is God real, and there's a sense of darkness or void in your life, I've got good news for you this morning that God wants to create something beautiful out of our mess. God wants to take our hopelessness and give us hope. He wants to take that sense of restlessness and peacelessness, even, is that a word? Peacelessness. It is now. And peacelessness. And he wants to give us peace and purpose for our lives. And I love that about our God. And so God, as we see in Scripture and we're about to hear, is a spiritual God that can do phenomenal things.
So we see God just being a supernatural God and a God who's incredibly creative right from the very, very beginning. Phil just read out that verse, and we just want to explore just briefly that whole idea of creation and maybe look at it again in that way that God supernaturally created the world. It wasn't by chance, we would believe. It wasn't just because there was a random cataclysmic event where a whole bunch of chemicals and compounds mixed. We would believe that God orchestrated, planned, and then did it. So we're just going to watch a clip. And as we watch it, I just want you to think about the fact that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty. It was a formless mass just cloaked in darkness. And the Spirit of God was just hovering over the surface. But then God began to speak and things began to happen. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God spoke and he separated the waters below and called it from the sky above, and he called the one above sky, and he spoke and separated the waters below and created dry ground. He spoke and said, "Let the land burst forth with every type of grass and seed-bearing plant." God spoke and said, "Let bright lights appear in the sky, separate day from night." And he created the sun, the moon, the stars. He spoke and said, "Let the water swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." And suddenly the seas and the skies were filled with incredible creatures. God spoke and said, "Let the whole earth be filled with animals, livestock, small animals, large ones, wildlife of every kind, things that would blow our minds." God looked at all that he had created and he said, "This is good." Yet despite the wondrous things that he had done, God had not yet reached the pinnacle of his creation. For on the sixth day, God formed something incredible out of the dust of the ground. On the sixth day, he created man and breathed life into him. And the man became a living person called Adam, and Adam lived in the beautiful Garden of Eden that God had created for him. God then decided to create a companion for Adam. He put man into a deep sleep and he took one of Adam's ribs and made a woman from the rib, and he breathed life into her, and her name was Eve. Adam and Eve lived in the garden and cared for it. And all the creatures. The most spectacular thing about living in the garden was they had amazing, perfect relationship with God. They experienced his perfect love all the time. Now that's a pretty incredible start to the supernatural. Right before the earth was even begun, God uses this supernatural, incredible, creative power to just begin to speak. And just, he has so much power within him that just speaking was enough to create all of that that we see and so much more. And as we read through the Bible, we see time and time and time again, God taking the supernatural realm of heaven and interacting it with our natural realm of earth. And that's what the supernatural is all about. It's about when the incredible power of God collides with our world here that we live in today. We see these things happening all the time. We see, if we were just read through the Old Testament and we were just to look through it, you can see Noah and the flood, and you can see that God's speaking to Noah and telling him so specifically exactly what he needed him to build in terms of the ark. And we know that, you know, song that God told Noah to build him. And we see the Tower of Babel and God just interacting and splitting up the languages. And we just see time and time again that God moves through. What about in Abraham? And we see in Abraham, God's conversations with Abraham of promises and blessing in involving God's ongoing commitment to mankind, to the people of Israel. Descendants, he says to Abraham, you will have as numerous as the stars. Abraham experiences this incredible miracle where he's almost 100 and Sarah's somewhere around 90 and they conceive a child, which I don't even want to think how that, you know, begins to, well, I know how that occurs, but I don't want to go down that path with that in my mind. It's just not good. No need for the welcome lunch after that. But we see God supernaturally do something in that situation. And then we see God say to Abraham, take that son, that incredibly precious miracle that you have, and take him up. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham just goes, okay, God, and he has such faith in God, and he goes up. And right at the last minute, as he's about to do this act of obedience to God, we see God just stop him and provide the ram that's needed for the sacrifice. And time again, we see at that 11th hour that God comes through and does what he needs to do.
So if we continue to trek through Scripture, we see this supernatural, spiritual God engaging in a way that people can't deny the reality of who he is. And I love that about our God, because after Abraham, we have Isaac, as Michael just referred to, and then Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. And you see that the way that God interacts and communicates with them through visions and dreams, through ways that they could understand and relate to, and he would give direction. It's amazing that we have a God that's interested not just in the big picture stuff of creating planets and galaxies, but he's interested in what you're going to do at work tomorrow. He's actually interested in wanting to speak to you and encourage you to actually give you the peace and the patience to deal with that, you know, that person that kind of gets up your nose a bit. That he actually, you know, he's there, that he actually wants to give you the wisdom and the creativity to sort through that issue and that challenge that you're currently faced with. And we see that in the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and the different things that they go through. And the thing I love about this, and repeated throughout Scripture, that none of these guys were perfect. Do we have anyone that's perfect here this morning? Messiah complex is what that's called, we can talk about that later. But
it's hard for.
So yeah, but we just keep moving through some of these. Well, let's just keep looking at some other people and just some of the things that happen.
Well, and then we look at Moses, and we look at right from the onset, Moses, and everything that happened to him was incredibly supernatural. You see him being placed in the basket, and just I guess some people would call it supernatural. Randomly occurring at the parish, but we would really believe that God would guide that basket so that he would end up at the palace, and he lives at the palace, and he grows up like one of Pharaoh's own sons, and then he gets into a fight, and he ends up, kills a guy, and he ends up being banished to the desert for 40 years, and then suddenly this bush appears to him while it's on fire and speaks to him, and Moses goes, oh my goodness, what's going on? And it's God in the bush, and he goes back in to the land that he'd run away from. And through a series of unbelievably supernatural events, the plagues where, you know, the rivers turned into blood and swarms of locusts occur and gnats occur, and then a whole bunch of people end up dying and stuff. And we just see gnats, gnats, gnats with a silent G. Amazing. Good or bad plague gnat? That's the question. And we see...
I'm not getting involved in this, you notice that? Better I don't say anything right now.
And we see out of that that God manages to just release just millions and millions of people under Moses' leadership out into the desert. So out of a time of incredible slavery and persecution, God supernaturally moves, and Moses takes these people out from this place of slavery into what they believe is a place of freedom.
So even as they're escaping out of Egypt, and they think, yoo-hoo, we're out of here, this is like our ticket to freedom, you know, there's a whole series of events that transpire that kind of, they just go, hang on, we get to the edge of this sea, you know, the Egyptians are coming, see this massive dust cloud coming, but, you know, God puts this barrier between them, and still they doubt, and they just go, God, you know, like, what are you doing? You've brought us out here to die. And then we know the story of the Red Sea and the parting of the sea, and the waters go either side and they can go through on dry land. And like, I don't know about you, but like, you know, we can think back. If that's all they'd experienced, I'm sure that should have been enough for them to carry through the whole desert experience. But they still continue to whinge and complain. Sounds like me. I don't know if there's any. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up for that one, but I'm sure there's a few of us that can relate to that. We see God's faithfulness come through supernaturally. in small or big ways. And yet God goes, well, okay, guys, I haven't put you out here. So I'm going to give you air conditioning via a cloud during the day. I'm giving you heating at night, fire at night. I'm going to give you quail in the morning and bread, manna from heaven that you can eat. And there's all these supernatural events for God providing for his people. So if you're here this morning, you need a breakthrough in the area of work or finance. You know, we've got some great stories already out of our church. Again, but by the grace of our great God, that people have got jobs that they didn't think they could ever get.
Yeah.
And God's interested in providing for our every needs. And we see that again and again. I love this out of Deuteronomy 29, verses 2 to 5. It says, Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands or eyes that see or ears that hear. Just referring to their stubbornness and disobedience and doubt that creeps in. And I like this one. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet wear out. How cool's that? It's like, yeah, my Nikes, they just keep going. Just like, man, they just clothes just don't wear out. It's phenomenal, like a supernatural example that God actually, and it's referred to in Malachi 3 about when we bring tithes offerings to the house, that God will protect our possessions, our belongings. Now, I don't know whether my fridge is supposed to die at some particular point, but maybe that God's protection over some of my white goods at home is that they'll just last longer than what they should. Because I trust God and he's my provider and he's my protector. Do you get what I'm saying? So we see the children of Israel in the desert is an example of that.
And if we kind of keep looking through the Old Testament, we see time and time again when the people of Israel, the armies of Israel, go into a battle, and so often they're outnumbered and outgunned and stuff, yet they have these incredible victories. And you see lots of times where, say, a small group of almost like just that would be sent out from the Israel army, a small group that would almost be like just a bit of a party that would be scouting around would come upon a big group of the enemy, and God would provide. And somehow, like, there was times where they'd surround them and they'd yell out, and it said the spirit of God would bring the spirit of confusion onto whoever it was, and they'd all just kill themselves, and the Israelites wouldn't even have to do anything. Or you see times where, like, David's mighty men, like, I don't know, these guys are obviously incredible soldiers, but when I read those stories and I go, wow, this guy stood in a field of lentils and he defeated an entire army, one guy beating 300 or 400 or 500 people, I don't know, I think he must have been a gun, but I also would think God supernaturally must have done something to protect him from, like, the arrows and the swords and the, you know, just, like, there's some incredible stories throughout the Old Testament of God bringing great victory, even like Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, and, you know, some of these things where the Israelite army didn't even have to draw a sword, and yet because God moves and God does something, they get the great victories brought forth for the Israelite people. So there's all these amazing occurrences throughout there, through these really practical situations that the people of Israel are facing, where God brings them great victory, and God brings them into from a place of like kind of chaos and struggle and challenge into a place of safety.
Yeah, so when it comes to battles in our lives, you know, sometimes we battle things and we try to do it in our own strength. In the Bible, throughout particularly the Old Testament, we're encouraged in the New Testament, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in the Old Testament, it was a common recurring theme that the battle is not yours, but it's mine, that God is fighting for us. And for some of you this morning, maybe you're weary and tired because you've been fighting a battle that's not yours. And God's going, hey, just give it to me. Let me kind of like intervene with my supernatural power. Let me come into your circumstance and situation. Stop fighting. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Coming to Jesus is the best decision we could ever make. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy. But it means when we hit hardships that he's actually there to fight on our behalf. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And God gives us weapons that we can fight with, like prayer, like fasting, like worship, like his word, like community and encouragement from one another, and his Holy Spirit, the ultimate encouragement and the ultimate source of power, and our fighting warrior on our behalf on planet Earth, is that he wants to fight for us and on our behalf. So if you're weary and heavy laden this morning, you're in a good place. Because we believe that there is a God that wants to give you rest.
Yeah.
And we see that. You know, some other supernatural manifestations that we see throughout the Old Testament, particularly, there are glimpses in the New, but is God manifesting himself or angelic manifestations? Very supernatural. We see all kinds of movies trying to, you know, sort of show us on screen what that would be like, but I don't think anything could, you know, CGI could compare to, you know, the reality of having an angel just suddenly appear in your room. And it's not just one of those little chubby babies with a bow and arrow that sort of stand, like, you know, the angels that are described, they're like, you know, 10, 12 foot high, and they're ripped, they're buff, they're rock hard, and they are just there to fight on your behalf, and they're not soft. They are tough.
Richard.
Like Rich.
I reckon they look like Richard.
Probably about a bit like Richard. We should dress him up, put some wings on him, just see how that goes.
It would freak me out if I woke up and he was standing there.
Wake up 2 a.m. in the morning and Rich is at the end of your
goodness.
Bed just going, I have a word from the Lord for you.
I'd listen.
We would listen. We would listen. We always listen, Rich, by the way. We always listen when you speak. But yeah, there's another example.
I guess, and then we start to look at that, like God speaking to his people, and we see supernaturally that God would speak in the Old Testament. He would speak through the prophets, and the prophets would have a word from the Lord, and they would bring that to the people. And often it was a word to call them into some form of obedience or to bring them some direction and some guidance and stuff. And for me, one of the things that we often overlook when we're looking at this whole idea of supernatural and why don't we see the supernatural occur more, or what does the supernatural look like and stuff, for me, one of the things that really stands out to me as something that is supernatural is the fact that God speaks to me. That we don't, it doesn't work anymore that solely we hear through the prophets or the priests or anything, and that's one way that God still speaks to us, but that God can speak to me. And that's a pretty supernatural occurrence, that the creator of the universe would speak to me. And each and every one of us who have Christ as part of our life and who have invited God to be part of our life have the ability to like experience that supernatural occurrence daily. That's pretty incredible. Like, but I think we often overlook some of, I guess, the small things in the supernatural because we're so busy looking for the angel to show up that we don't realize that, and we're going to talk about it, that God's presence is in us already and that he's continually speaking to us. That's pretty incredible. That's supernatural.
Yeah. And that whole area of the prophetic and gifts that God gives, now, I really believe that they are still relevant today. And we'll come to the New Testament church in a minute. But just while we're on that, if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're looking at that, verse 1 simply says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." So this morning, after you hear this, you're not going to be ignorant anymore if you don't know what I'm talking about. So that's a good thing. It says here in verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits or discernment, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." So today, the prophetic is just as real and relevant as it was throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament church, throughout the ages, but today. And when you're prayed for this morning, if you'd like to be prayed for, maybe somebody's going to pray for you, and they may give you a word, they may give you something that they believe God's put on their heart for you that they otherwise would not have known. They might have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Or if you need healing in your body today, we're just believing and trusting that God, through the power of his Spirit, it's God who does it all. Let's be really clear about that. That God is wanting to use. You notice in Scripture that God is always looking for a man or a woman that's solely after his heart, that he can show and prove himself strong, that he can use, that he can work through. And that's available to any one of us. And it relates a little bit to why there's not as much supernatural stuff happening in Australia, I believe, because there's not an expectation. Yeah. We're so comfortable. We're so complacent. We've got Medicare. I've got Medibank Private. I'll just rely on that. I don't need to rely on God until all hell breaks loose, until everything's totally out of control. And then it's God's fault anyway. And it's like there's not that hunger or desperation. Do we go for the Panadol or do we go to prayer? Do our first reaction in situations, do we actually go to pray for somebody, or do we go, hang on, I'm a physio, And so do I go, okay, first of all, I should rest, ice compression, elevation, talk about, yep, that's ankle, eversion, injury. So, okay, those ligaments probably. And I say, no, or do I just go, hey, can I pray for you first and then we'll sort out the other practical stuff? Do you get what I'm saying? And so I think there's that element of just that hunger and desperation, expectation. And the cool thing is, two things. The people we're talking about, referring to, weren't perfect human beings. And God still used them and did incredible things through them. David's a classic example of that. Man, responsible for murder, adultery, a whole list of lying, a whole list of different things, and yet still called a man after God's own heart. And so, you know, that's just a phenomenal thing that's available to all of us. The other thing is, the Bible says, all we need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. You say, God, I don't know, but like, I need you to do something in my world. I'm asking you, God, to do something in my world. And he responds and listens to those prayers.
So moving forward and looking to coming up to more, I guess, the New Testament, we see all these incredible old school prophets who are prophesying the coming Messiah, and the people weren't really sure. They were kind of looking for, I guess, the great warrior that was going to lead them out of this, you know, kind of time of oppression and stuff that they were living in. They were looking for the new ruler who was going to come in, and they had these really preconceived ideas of what was going to happen, and then along came Jesus. And right from the very beginning, right from the start where, you know, the angel appears to Mary and says, hey, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, and it then appears to Joseph and goes, you know, the same. And they have this incredible experience of the virgin birth. And do you reckon Joseph felt ripped off with that whole thing?
I don't know where your headspace is at, but like, can you just...
just a thought.
We'll talk about that later.
It's just a philosophical question. I just thought of
there's some things that should stay inside your head, seriously.
Mate, you gave me the microphone. So we have this... You know that you don't know what might happen. So we have this incredible miracle of the virgin birth.
And that's not just the Holy Spirit.
Phil, I'm trying to preach.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, convenient.
And one of the names that Jesus has given is Emmanuel, God with us. So there's this transition that happens from the Old Testament of kind of God being around us and God at times interacting with us to when Jesus arrives and he's called God with us, that God is actually with us. And we see Jesus right from the onset doing incredible things, performing miracles, doing things that nobody has ever seen before in a way that nobody can understand. And so we get this experience of the birth of the early church out of the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus comes and he is like the first time that we can really maybe begin to understand what the heart of God is like. He ministers to the poor. He looks out for the downcast and the outtrodden, and he helps those, and he brings the supernatural power of God into people's daily lives. And that's one of the things I love, that when people were just walking through their town or their village and they interacted with God, miracles happen. It doesn't mean that they'd been praying and fasting, or it doesn't mean that people had been, you know, crying out for God for years and years and years. Some of them had, some of them hadn't. Some of them were just doing their daily life and they have this incredible encounter with God, with the presence of God through Jesus, and their lives are completely changed. And one of the really encouraging things for me is if I have the presence of God living within me, which I do when I ask God to become a part of my life, then I have the ability to just interact with people, and not through what I do, through what God does to help people have a God experience in their daily life. And that's really exciting to me, is that as someone who houses the presence of God, God can use me and bring incredible change in people's lives.
Yeah, we're going to just about wind up here, but like, we're going to talk about in a minute, how does that work? Well, how is this relevant to us today? And the thing is, as we remembered this morning, Christ's death and resurrection, that God again is showing, as he has from the very beginning, that he wants to stay connected and engage with mankind, that, you know, Jesus didn't leave us on his own. As he ascended to seat at the right hand of the Father, he said, I'm going to give you the comfort. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so God is never going to leave us alone. I don't care how many people have let you down, walked out on you, whoever it might have been, people you were meant to be able to trust, but you can rest assured that God will never leave and he'll never forsake you. And I love that about our God. And so the same is true, that God sent his Holy Spirit. Who on earth is God? Well, the Holy Spirit is God on earth. And so we've got the Holy Spirit, and that's where in Acts we see this great story of the birth of the church. And it was birthed out of a supernatural event. It was birthed out of 120 people sitting in an upper room, all praying and seeking God as they were told to do. They were being obedient, which is a good thought for the day. But to be obedient and actually praying to God, and there's a mighty rushing wind, like the whole place began to shake. It was like tongues of fire hovering over their heads. I don't know, like when I got together with some friends yesterday and we're chatting, that didn't happen. This is kind of like a pretty amazing event. It's like, you know, supernatural, something incredible started to happen, and the Holy Spirit began to breathe upon individuals. They were filled with God's Spirit. They were filled with a boldness and a courage that they didn't have before, for one of them to stand up and preach in a way that 3,000 were added to the church that day. And then they tried to, you know, the government and the Roman rule tried to squash it, and so they started to persecute the Christians, which was great for the church because the church had to scatter, but they took the message with them. And so they begin to take the message, but they also begin to take the power with them. And the supernatural signs and wonders began to pop up all over the place, like little fires all around the known world. And that's how the early church was birthed and it started. And so I'm a big believer that the book of Acts is not descriptive, not just a description of what took place early on in the first century. But for me, it's prescriptive in the sense that it teaches us that we can draw theology out of it, that we can lean on those scriptures to say, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you did it then, you can do it now. And so, God, if you healed back then and you healed through the local early church, you can do it again today. Anyone with me?
Yeah.
Cool.
So what does supernatural look like for us today? We would say that we've all experienced the supernatural. If you're here and you have a relationship with God, if you've asked God to become a part of your life, we would say then you have had a supernatural experience at some point. That in your journey to faith, that's probably more supernatural maybe than you have even realized or given credit to. The people that God brought into your world, the conversations that happened, all those things that had to occur for you to come to a place where you would make a decision to make God a part of your life and to make him the king of your life, we would say they are supernatural experiences. And then there's the journey of faith, that journey that we're on now. It starts supernaturally, God forgiving us for all of the things that we've done wrong, us asking for forgiveness, God bringing that, giving us a fresh start, doing things his way. All of these things are supernatural experiences. Supernatural isn't just about the miracle. It's so much more. It's not just about a very visible healing. That's one element of the supernatural, but the supernatural is a daily occurrence that happens. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. It's not a one-off. The supernatural isn't a one-off occurrence that happens, that we experience the supernatural today, and that's it. And for the rest of our life, we look back on that one great time we had with the supernatural. The supernatural is a daily thing. It's something that happens constantly. Living a Christian life without the supernatural is nothing short of a frustrating experience. It's like when people start off a health kick and they decide they're going to eat really well and they do no exercise, or they're going to exercise really well, hard, but they don't eat really well because you don't get the benefit. It's just an exercise in frustration. So to live a life by, you know, the guidelines and the moral code of Christianity, but not to experience the supernatural, is really doing it without the full benefit. To me, it's an exercise in frustration. But when you include the supernatural into that, that's when we start to experience what God talks about when he says, invite me into your life and you will have life in all its fullness.
Yeah, that's right. And probably the one qualifier I put in here at this point is that, you know, it's great for us to hunger after the supernatural and to seek out, you know, the Holy Spirit and to see whatever he wants to do in our lives. And yes, it is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person that we can get to know, part of the Trinity. And so that's great. But at the same time, it's not just all that. Because if it's just all Spirit, we'll blow up. But on the contrast of that, if it's just all Word, we'll dry up. If we ignore the Holy Spirit, if we ignore the supernatural, we just become very dry, bland, boring Christians. But when it's a balance between the two, when there's a blend between Spirit and truth, his Word is truth, when there's that right balance and seeking after and hungering after his Word and his Spirit, we'll grow up into what and who God wants us to be. So that would be the only qualifier I'd put in at this point. So how do we allow the power of God to break through in our natural world? Well, Mark 16 and John 14, 15 and 16 says simply that when we pray something, we're asked to pray in the name of Jesus. people call upon all sorts of different names, and they'll call upon, you know, the God of Collingwood, or they'll call upon the God of, you know, the Adelaide Crows, or they'll call upon, you know, the God of...
It's not a strong God, is it?
Collingwood? No. But we'll see, you know, the God of Lady Gaga. You know, people call upon and scream and they worship all sorts of different things and they idolize different things. But the Bible tells us if we want to see and get God's attention when it comes to putting requests before Him, that Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is the one that we come to. And we come to God through the name of Jesus and we say, I pray this in Jesus' name, then I can believe and not doubt that it will come to pass. In Mark 16, it tells us that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That means you, all of us. If we have faith in our heart and believe that God is a miracle-working God, that we can pray with somebody, and if it's appropriate, we lay hands on them. But if we can't and it's not appropriate at the time or they're too far away, that we can pray in Jesus' name and we can see and believe for them to be healed. And we see that the Holy Spirit is God's agent on earth that is wanting to do good and is wanting to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And I think the last thing I'd say is, how do we see the supernatural power of God break through in our world is to actually have a hunger, is to actually have an expectation. And I believe that for people who don't have faith in Christ, but they call upon the name of the Lord, that is enough of an expectation. That's enough of a hunger to say, God, I need you in my life. But for those of us that have a relationship or a long-term relationship with God, call our Christians for some time, sometimes we get a bit complacent. Sometimes we get a bit comfortable. Sometimes we get a little bit like, yep, bit of a bless me club going on and I'm all good, thank you very much. And yeah, you know, until things go wrong and then we get a bit desperate. But wouldn't it be great if we as a church could be at the level of desperation and hunger that we are when things go chaotic and crazy, but we could do that when things are going well. Yes. Imagine what kind of connection between earth and heaven there would be. And I'm a big believer that, as Michael referred to, we being carriers of the presence of God, as Romans 8 tells us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in each one of us that has Christ as Lord, that when you reach out, there is like, I was trying to think, how does this stuff work? I believe there's this resident power and there's God in my life, that there's got to be a connection point between me and the person who has the need. Are you with me? So the next thing is I either have to speak out the words, or as the Bible says, I can lay hands on the sick, and that point of contact, it's got nothing to do with me, but it's just God working through me. Because God is always looking for men and women that are available, expectant, hungry to be used by Him. And it doesn't matter how big or how small the issue is. And just as we close, we're going to ask the worship team to come up. We're just going to worship for a few minutes this morning, and I just want you to reflect over what we've actually talked about. Because I really want to thank God this morning. I want to thank God. I mean, I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life. And there's other people in this room I know that can concur with that. But, you know, we're blessed today. And I don't want to embarrass this guy, but, like, we've got David here who's the father of Emil. And it's been an intense journey for David and Lisa and baby Emil. But, you know, and we're hoping we're going to give David the opportunity to share his story in the not-too-distant future. So don't miss that. But, you know, there's just a very recent example of just the grace and the goodness of God working in the life of just a precious little baby that's only a few weeks old at the time when he's diagnosed with what he had. And he's coming out of the other side. And it's only but by the grace of God we believe. You know, we've, as I said before, we've got people sitting here today that have got jobs and they're in roles of work that they just went, wow. I've got one young lady that, you know, the night before she felt prompted by God to say, study this. Because, you know, in the interview tomorrow, they're going to ask you questions about it. So she goes, she does, she looks over that stuff, goes to the interview the next day. What do? They ask her specifically about that topic, and none of the other candidates could answer it. She did, and impressed them so much she got the job. And then Tim shared his story about the role that he's in at the moment. And, you know, that's just God providing him his role. And I could go on and on. And just, you know, other healings in people's life. Just last Sunday, just a word of knowledge as we're in worship, you know, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And as we began to praise, you know, God just dropped, somebody here has got a sore throat. I didn't know who it was. Got a phone call the next day to hear from Mulyadi, who's looking after the youth. He goes, Phil, you didn't know, but my throat, I had a cut and it's just been bleeding throughout the week. It just wouldn't heal. I woke up this morning and it's totally fine. It's not sore anymore. It's totally fine. You know, and God is just doing good stuff. Yeah. And he wants to do good stuff in your life today. And so as we begin to worship now, we're just going to stand and we're just going to begin to worship. The team's going to lead us in worship. And I don't know where you're at with God. And just as we stand, I'm just going to ask, before we sing the first song, I'm just going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. I believe the greatest miracle that anyone can experience is the miracle of salvation. The free gift of salvation. Salvation was free, but it wasn't cheap because it cost Jesus Christ his life for us to experience that forgiveness. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, and everyone's got their heads bowed, eyes closed, except for me and one of our pastoral care team. But this morning, if that's you, you've never experienced the miracle of salvation, where, you know what, I've never come to God. I don't have a relationship with God. I've never done that through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That today I want to give you that opportunity that you simply, all you have to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, his death, taking your sin and sickness upon himself, he died and he rose again 3 days later, conquering death and sin and sickness, that all you have to do is just say, God, please forgive me. And he'll do it in an instant. Our God is faithful. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins and he rose again, he will forgive you. And you can start this journey of faith. In this moment, you can have a supernatural experience of forgiveness and the past is wiped clean and you can move forward in the freedom that God's got for your life. Is there anyone here today? You've never done that. You say, yeah, Phil, I would like to do that. I don't understand it all. Well, you're in good company because none of us do. It's a lifelong journey of learning and growing in God. But at this point of time, to start your journey of faith, if that's you, no one else is looking around. Can you just slip your hand up? And I'd love to pray with you after this service is finished. Is there anyone here that says, yep, Phil, that's me. I want to start my journey of faith, Phil. It's not about joining this church. It's not about becoming religious. It's about you making your peace with God and starting a relationship with God. Because at the moment, it's the sin, the wrongs in our life that stand between you and God. And he says, hey, I want to take that out of the way so that you and I can have a relationship. Is there anybody here this morning? Last time I'm going to ask. Yeah, awesome, mate. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anybody else today? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The greatest miracle, best decision you'll ever make with your life. A God who loves you so much that he sent his only son to die so that you could live. Last time, is there anybody else before we worship? For those that raise their hand, or maybe you wanted to raise your hand but you're a bit nervous, that's okay. I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. And we're all going to pray this together as a church because the Bible says we're family. And so, you know, when my brother in this room is hurting, I'm hurting. When they're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. When they want to pray, I'll pray with them. I'll pray for them. And so we're going to pray with you this morning. And just wanted everyone in this room just to repeat this prayer after me, but especially those that raise their hand. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I know I've done wrong. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. You died for all my sin and you rose again. And I ask you to forgive me. Come and be Lord of my life. Come and be my best friend. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give those people a hand, shall we? It's the best decision you could ever make with your life. We're just going to have a short time of worship and then we're just going to open up this area to just to pray with you or for you if you've got a need in your life that we believe is just going to be a supernatural moment for you in this place. There's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too big for our God. But if you put your hand up this morning, I'd love to chat with you before you go today, just to let you know where to from here, what you can do, what's the best next step for you in your journey of faith now. And it's pretty cool because we've just given heaven a reason to celebrate. So I think that's pretty cool. And congratulations on the best decision you've ever made. We're just going to begin to worship God and just allow His Spirit, because He inhabits the praises of His people, just to come and already start. And I believe even as we worship, you're going to start to sense the Spirit of God, the presence of God, because how will you know? Because it's good. That's how you taste and see that the Lord is good. You're about to experience. If you've never experienced the presence of God, my prayer for you this week was that as we stand and worship, that you just begin to, there's something going on here. And I just want you to embrace it. I just want you to open your heart and say, God, if that's you and you're real, make yourself known to me in this moment. So we hand over to you as we already have, but more so right now, Holy Spirit, it's totally yours. Touch hearts that are open. We're hungry. We're desperate for you to have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Thanks, Ian.
As I look into the stars, pondering how far away they are, how you hold them in your hands, and still you know who I am. You know my innermost being even better than I know myself. What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God. And what am I? Called your child. What am I? What am I? That you might know me, my King. What am I? What am I? What am I? As I look off into the distance, watching the sun roll on by, beautiful colors all around me, painted all over the sky. The same hands that created all of this, they created you and I.
Let's sing, What a Beautiful God.
What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God. What am I that I might be called your child? What am I? What am I that you might know me, my King? What am I? What am I? What am I? What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God.
What a beautiful God.
What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God.
What a beautiful God.
What a beautiful God. What a beautiful God.
What am I?
And what am I that I might be called your child? What am I? What am I? What am I? What am I? What am I?
No place.